Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. The brief text that we consider this morning comes from the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, reading this morning from the King James Version. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose cross towers o'er the wrecks of time. Dear friends in Christ, it's been said that nothing dies harder in the human heart than the desire for glory. The ancient philosopher Tacitus once said, "The desire for glory clings even to the best men longer than any other passion." Well, today's text is about glory, about what is glorious and what isn't, what merits our attention and our aspirations and what doesn't. Perhaps a sense of glory has been missing from your life recently, or maybe you've been glorying but in the wrong things. Either way, our brief text for today holds good news for you. Our theme for this morning is, "The cross is your only glory." There were some false teachers in the Christian congregation in Galatia called the Judaizers, and they were glorying in the wrong thing. They gloried in the fact that they were in authority, they were calling the shots, and that they were telling Christians there not only did they have to trust in Christ for salvation, but they also had to keep certain parts of the Jewish ceremonial law as well. That's what they were glorying in. By contrast, Paul says in our text, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul clung to the cross of his Savior Jesus as his only glory because he realized there wasn't any other. And it didn't much care what the world had to say about that. Why not? He tells us, because the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That seems a rather odd thing to say. And to understand him, we need to understand what crucifixion entailed. One writer said, crucifixion meant death, of course. But more than simple death, it was a death of shame and abomination, by which the dead one was cast out as one execrated and rejected. Paul said that's how the Christian should now view the world, as something cast out, rejected, not even worth considering. And that's also, he said, how the world felt about him, and he was okay with that. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You're a Christian, so let me ask you that question. Are you crucified unto the world and the world crucified unto you? Have you rejected the unholy influences of the world around you? Or are you allowing them to shape your opinions and your behavior? Who are your influencers? Are they the people in the Bible? Or the people who bring you God's word, like your pastors and professors, fellow Christians? Are they your influencers? Or are they other people? People on TikTok or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Are they your influencers? Be careful. The Apostle Paul says, we're crucified to the world. And you have to be uncaring about what the unbelievers around you think and say about your faith and about you as a Christian. And that can be hard to do. I've heard people describe the CLC as a cult. You're so extreme, they say. And we are extremely committed to what the Bible says and what God tells us in his word. That's true. Remember, you have no glory apart from Christ. Can I say that again? You have no glory apart from your Savior, Jesus Christ. Any glory there appears to be is merely temporary, an illusion. In fact, the Apostle John says that the glory of the world and the glory of the cross are mutually exclusive. Love not the world, he says, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, turning our backs on the world can be a little bit frightening. It's a little daunting to declare that from now on, we are not going to regard and praise and value the things that the world around us regards and values and praises. It's a bit like saying, we're not going to use their money anymore. We're only going to use the kind of money we make up. But let's not be afraid to abandon the so-called glory, the illusory glory of this world. Let's remember that it's the unbelieving world that's actually using fake money. What we have is real. Let's join the Apostle Paul. Let the world be crucified to us and us to the world. It may be true that the cross is the only glory we have. On the other hand, it's also true that it's the only glory we need. Well, might we Christians glory in our God, who so richly provides for us all the things that we need for life, blessings far beyond anything we could have ever asked for, our daily bread, protection, provision. All of that is true, but let's skip that for now and talk about the real glory, the glory that surpasses every other, and I mean the glory of salvation, the glory of the righteousness, forgiveness, and eternal life which belongs to you in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a little hard to think of an example from everyday life of the concept of glory, because our world of today is so inglorious and so informal. But one that came to mind was the example of weddings, right? Have you been to a wedding recently? Weddings are still pretty glorious. Even people who never dress up get dressed up for weddings. The music is glorious. The flowers are glorious. The groomsmen are glorious in their tuxedos and the bridesmaids in their chiffon. But the height of glory, of course, is the bride, decked out as she is in what is probably the most beautiful dress she'll ever wear. And you know what's interesting? If you look back in the Old Testament, that's exactly the picture that the prophet Isaiah uses to describe the glory that belongs to you and me in our Savior Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. We don't glory in ourselves, of course not. We're done with that. That's what the world does, and the world is crucified to us. But you can glory all day long in the cross of your Savior, Jesus Christ. With his suffering on that cross, Jesus redeemed you from all your sins. He purchased and won you and gave you the garments of salvation. With joy, you can now fling off that filthy, smelly garment of your sins and of your own pathetic good works. Now, the cross entitles you to wear the perfect garment, the glorious clothing. The cross of Christ entitles you to wear the pure white robe of Christ's own righteousness. This the superscription be, Jesus crucified for me. If you're going to be proud of something, be proud of that and nothing else. During this season of Lent especially, we can point to the cross and say, God loved me so much, he was willing to do that to his own son. If you want glory, here's all the glory you could ever ask for. Amen. We'll conclude with the first two stanzas of hymn 175.